Welcome to the study session for the Mesa City Council for Monday, September 21st, 2009. We'll begin by reviewing the items on tonight's council meeting agenda.
It's long.
Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Okay. And judging from this, the meeting may not last much longer than the review did. Okay, item number 2, hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on the Community-Oriented Policing Services, or COPS, hiring grant.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We're here today to review what was presented to Council, reference the Community-Oriented Policing Services hiring grant. We're going to be making recommendations and looking for direction and move forward with the commitment of hiring 25 police officers. Mesa applied for the 25 officers on April 10th, 2009. The award provides 100% funding of entry-level salaries and benefits for 3 years of the newly hired officers. At the conclusion of the federal funding, Mesa must retain all sworn positions awarded for the 12 months. What I'd like to do is get into what our recommendations are for assignment for the 25 police officers. The first one is the Mesa program, which is an intervention prevention program where we partner with Mesa Public Schools to target at-risk youth. It's a program that includes physical fitness, it includes mentoring, it includes education, and various prevention intervention programs. As of right now, the program, we have 164 participants. We started this in 2007, and we currently have a successful graduation rate from the program of 106. With the additional 3 officers, it would give us the ability to extend into another school. Right now, we currently do 1 school in Mesa. And those 3 officers, currently right now, we have 1 officer assigned to it full-time, and we're having to utilize other officers from different areas to come and supplement that. With an additional 3 officers, that would give us the opportunity to have committed resources to the Mesa program and allow those other officers that are putting their time in there to go back out and do the functions that they're currently working. The school resource officer program. In 2009, we lost 2 schools, funding for 2 schools. One was a Mesa school, but a Gilbert Public School, and the other was East Valley High School. With additional 2 officers, we would be able to reevaluate, and I wouldn't want to recommend that we would necessarily where we would put those positions today, because when we get the actual bodies working on the street will be in February of 2011. The SRO scene may change. So I think we'll have to reevaluate what schools are being funded in 2011 and say which one would be giving us our best bang for our buck on where those additional school resource officers would go. The bulk of the officers, the
Chief, Dennis Kavanaugh. Councilmember Dennis Kavanaugh has a question.
Thank you, Chief. I just have a question. I know that Mesa Public Schools, for example, is reviewing the possibility of moving their grades around between the junior high schools and high schools, and perhaps making the high schools 4-year and starting the junior high at an earlier age. Would changes like that be factors that you would weigh in terms of where to place officers throughout the city?
Yes, with a major change like that, we would really reevaluate the whole school, the SRO program, to give us, obviously look at the grant criteria of what we have to cover and the age criteria, but to give us the better coverage of, what we're looking at right now is obviously coverage for all high schools and all junior highs. with a change like that, we would really have to go back and look at what age we're having difficulty with, you know, criminal activity within the schools and so on. So we would have to do a thorough evaluation of it and then reassess. The majority of the officers, the 16, would be placed in a community intervention neighborhood enforcement team. Now, that's a broad definition of a lot of things, and I'll give you some of the criteria. That would give us the ability to give each district four officers that would work in problem-oriented policing. And it could be a variety of things depending on the need for that particular district and the criminal activity. It could be a walking beat. It could be a bicycle beat. It could be special projects. A good example would be high crime areas where we're having problems. The Main Street corridor, the Country Club corridor, those officers could be assigned specific areas to fight crime, to do crime prevention, to do community-oriented policing, working with the businesses. And that will help reduce our calls for service. It'll help reduce crime in the area. It'll be give us a pretty diverse tool to be responsive to whatever community need and crime fighting at that particular time. So that's where the bulk of those officers would go. The next is four officers that would go to the Center Against Family Violence, domestic violence detectives. Currently, each station has one night domestic violence detective, and that detective is responsible for any suspect contact, any victim contact. What we're trying to do is be more preventative and making contact with victims of domestic violence during misdemeanor-type activity before it turns into a felony. What happens right now is that that one detective has to pull resources off the street so they can have another officer to go with them on the scene. This would give us two detectives per station and would make them pretty self-sufficient to go out there and make suspect contact and victim contact.
Chief, just one thing. Now, once again, as you started out, you said that we're going to, basically you gave us this presentation, and has there been any change in what was presented the first time? Because this looks pretty familiar with the grant application we had. And I just want to...
Correct, Mayor and Council. Everything's the same. The only thing we did is we gave you a picture of where we would allocate those resources and how we broke that up.
Right. Okay, I just want to make that clear that yes. This just didn't come up after the fact. This is a continuation of the entire process.
Yeah, and this whole presentation really is a review of what was recommended already to Council. Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, the next slide I'd like to talk about is our, gives you a little of a financial breakdown for the four-year period of time broken down by months, which is how the grant is calculated. Again, this is consistent with the information given prior as well. It gives you the year one cost for months 1 through 12, year two, which is the $275,000, year three, $331,000, and then year four, when the city's responsibility kicks in on the fourth year. The year one amount, I think it's clear to note, is already budgeted for with the amount of $780,000. So everything is outlaid and still consistent with what we earlier presented. To add just a little detail to the $780,000, the city costs related to that include normal support items for the officers, which are uniform allowance, ballistic vest reimbursement, other equipment, their weapons, those sorts of things, as well as vehicles that go along with that. The cost represented here, I think it's fair to say, is the maximum amount that we would incur from a city, and there's certainly possibilities that there would be less costs incurred based on some of the reallocations we would do with personnel, as well as some of the equipment usage that we currently have from, that we may be able to reuse from some of the attrition that we're currently going through. So this kind of gives you the ceiling of that cost, if you will, for that year.
Okay. Chief Councilman Richards has a question.
Is the, you mentioned the vehicles, would these be fully outfitted patrol cars? Because a lot of, I mean, this isn't really, they're not really out on patrol, so would, I mean, be a kind of car with the sirens and lights, or are there cheaper versions of that, you know, non-marked? What does that mean when you talk about vehicles for these officers?
As you can see from a lot of the different assignments they're in, they are going to be supportive to the field in terms of prevention and community policing. So the vehicles are fully outfitted. That'll allow you to do a variety of functions as you work your projects as well. It gives us the flexibility, though, and what we've programmed in there is for a fully functional patrol unit. Like I said, we may find that there's some vehicle modifications that reduce that cost, or that we don't do a fully outfitted one based on what the assignments are. But the cost in there does give you a fully outfitted one, so that, again, that's the ceiling of your financial commitment, and it could be less than that.
Councilmember Fenter.
If you could help me understand matching the timeline to these city costs, usually the first 9 months is in the academy, is that correct? So would this first year cost be post-academy and then out, or because a recruit in the academy wouldn't have a vehicle and wouldn't have some of those equipment needs? I'm just trying to understand how that works.
Right. The costs incurred in the grant start when they're hired, so that is when the clock starts. They are in the academy, and the next slide kind of goes through a training timeline, if you will, of the time where they're actually trained in the academy, which is about a five-month period after they're hired. And then they're in the field as a field training officer program, being trained in the field with an officer, and then they go solo status. So the first 5 months would be classroom in terms of their academy training. And they'll obviously go to the field, where a lot of those costs are then part of what they're doing. Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Next slide, just wanted to give you a quick overview of the recruitment and training timeline to give you an idea of what this would mean in terms of the recruitment background and the training that goes into getting an officer prepared for solo status. As you can see, they will begin our recruitment in November. We'll be doing our testing, background, and hiring. That will be essentially about a five-month process. Based on current conditions, we expect to have a lot of interest in this position and expect to have a great deal of applicants as well. Police Academy is scheduled to begin May 2010. As I mentioned, it's a 20-week program, so that will carry you through September on graduation. Then they have an 18-week field training program, and the timeline there from October through January 2011, and their actual solo status will begin February of 2011.
Councilmember Richens.
Just going back to the program assignments, obviously the new officers coming out of the academy, would they go right into these roles? I mean, obviously, like the domestic violence detective is somebody that would be a lot more experienced than somebody just coming out of the academy. So to explain how that works, so would the guys coming out of the academy go on patrol and then you'd shift the other officers? Is that...
Mayor, Councilmember Richens, yes, exactly. The officers that we'd hired would cover a patrol spot, and we would take veteran officers to put in these positions right here.
Mr. Brady?
Mayor and Council, so we wanted to review again with Council that which we had presented to you previously back in the spring, and that which we actually was part of the application to the COPS program. And as you know, we were then notified by the COPS grant that we were granted all 25 officers that we applied for. Police Department did such a great job of putting their application in and made a compelling argument, apparently, that we were able to, one of the few cities, as I understand, they got everything, all the positions that were requested.
Few cities in the entire country.
Correct.
We're the only city in Arizona.
There you go. So... What we are here today is we need to move forward. We just want to present this, remind everybody kind of where this puts us, what the implications are on the cost. As you've heard, we, in anticipation, or at least being very conservative, not knowing exactly how many we might be awarded, we went ahead and in this year's budget have set aside the funding for the whole first year. That's a pretty conservative number, and it's also going to happen at the latter part of this fiscal year. The real impact, as you can see, happens in that year four. And so one of the things that we would recommend is if we were to move forward, which is going to be our recommendation for all 25 positions, that we will begin building this into our forecast, which the council will see, as we typically do, in that October-November timeframe, and begin building that in as an obligation of the city going out. And so we will have to, over the next couple of years, begin anticipating that increase. And what I would suggest is we start putting us, just as we did, like we had the quality of life sales tax dollars, we kind of put away dollars each year so that by the time we get to that year four, it's not the whole $2.5 million increment that we're adding into the budget, but we've maybe built up some amount going into that year. Obviously, that's going to put some pressure on the budget, but we'll have to work with the police department, continue to look for additional efficiencies and savings as well as citywide. But I think this is a unique opportunity to bring in some valuable resources into the community. So what the staff is recommending is we do move forward with 25. If that is the agreement of the council, then we would, what we'll need to do, whatever the number is, whether it's 25 or some number less, we will need to get that direction today so we can bring it to the council for our first meeting in October, because we, the council as a body, has to approve, I think it's a resolution, supporting this grant and committing to these costs that you see here. Again, our cost under the grant is only for the fourth year that we have to carry, 12 months after the initial three-year period we're committed to. And then beyond that, that again obviously will be up to the council, the city, make the decision about whether to continue to fund those positions into the future. So we're available for any questions.
Any questions for Councilmember Richens? Oh, Vice Mayor?
Well, I just want to make a comment, though, when you say to continue funding those positions, it would more than likely mean that as we have more attrition and those who are dropping off, not the people we hired saying we're going to lay you off, it's when positions vacate through retirement and whatever, we just would not, we'd have to make a decision about filling those.
Correct, Vice Mayor.
Just so there's no misunderstanding, these 25 by the grant have to be additional.
Correct.
Additional officers right now. These are not to replace eliminated or phased out positions.
Through so this that, is a, through that 4 years.
Through the four years.
And I think what the Vice Mayor suggested.
After that, then we look at total staffing levels and we can make those decisions.
As is our policy when there are grant funded positions, and there are many in the department and the city, those positions are identified as being grant funded, so that's subject to the funding of the grant. That would apply here. Now, obviously, we're going to be smart about it. If there's, for whatever reason, after the fourth year, we decide that that, and hopefully we'll know that before we actually get to the fifth year, if we're not going to fund it, we would then begin making the adjustments, whether through attrition or other means, not to fund it. But we would hope that by that point in time, we have a position financially that would be able to continue those, carry those positions well into the future.
And this fifth year, once again, doesn't kick in until 2014, so...
Correct.
Actually, the
latter part
of the fiscal 13-14. Or actually 14-15.
Fiscal year,
Well, when this decision for the non-funded has to, on whether to continue forward is really 14-15.
Is that, again, I just wanted the clarification. As you asked earlier, will these guys move into those specific roles? No, they will move into patrol and more experience will take those.
Right.
And likewise, when it comes to funding those positions, we will have different staffing levels at that point to evaluate the entire program.
Correct.
And here's hoping that our finances will have settled down a bit by then and the economy will have recovered. Councilmember Richens and then Councilmember Summers.
Do these cost assumptions include any merit pay, cost of living increases, any other pay?
I believe
2% or 3%?
Typically, we...
pay increase, restorations, anything like that over the 4 years?
The model currently includes the normal percentage of increase across the PD.
So it's a very conservative, robust estimate.
That will assume all robust.
Conservatively robust, meaning that we shot for the high end as opposed to thinking that any of those things may not be there. So it's a very, it includes all of those and the benefits increases, any increases that we anticipate as far as health benefits essentially follows our forecasting model that we would have in place for the whole city.
Excellent. Good job as usual. Thank you.
Councilmember Summers.
That was a great question. Thank you very much for that. I was curious as to when that the officers might be moved into these positions. I commend you for looking at current trends in crime. Mesa, for the most part, are, correct me if I'm wrong, but our Part 1 crimes continue to decrease, and they've been on a decline now for the better part of 3 years, I believe, which is a fantastic trend to be a part of for a community. It means that we're seeing a safer and safer community, even in tough fiscal times. Some of the areas that we struggle with, of course, I noticed that domestic violence seems to be on the increase, and so I'd like to know when the four officers might be assigned to those positions, or how quickly could we get them assigned to those positions so we can clear some of those cases as quickly as possible. Anybody know?
But your schedule shows that we would have officers available to go solo
February 20th.
So that's
Is that the earliest, or is it possible to get some of those officers into those positions earlier, or are we waiting to them for them to be able to go solo?
I think for the programs that are identified here, that timeline is what we're looking at right now, forecasting out. Once they go solo, allows you to deploy them into the patrol positions and take your more senior officers and move them into these specialties. I think part of our assessment of our crime trends and where our resources are always looked at throughout that spectrum of time as well, and that so that we could make adjustments certainly based on trends with our existing personnel to accommodate any of those changes in crime or increases or areas of concern. So I think that's our intermediate plan to do that as well, which we do on a regular basis. But for the sake of this timeline, you know, the deployment will happen no later than that time when they go solo.
So the police department is adjusting, based on crime trends, they're going to adjust to deal with the situation, and by 2011 we'll be able to add these resources in full-time?
Right.
Okay. And also the community and neighborhood enforcement teams have been incredibly popular. They're very responsive to the needs of the community and evolving crime trends. And I know in my district it's been thefts out of exposed vehicles or doors left open or garage doors left open, and these officers will help with that. But of course, nothing will help more than making sure that you secured your materials and shut your garage door in the evening. So I say that on camera, so hopefully people will actually shut their garage doors, including myself.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Thank you very much.
So, Council,
we will
move forward with bringing the 25.
I mean, we've discussed this before. I just
may make sure. Just
thank you
for the nod.
Reminding me. You said that's what we were doing.
I just wasn't
listening very well.
I,
are there any objections to moving forward with the 25 officers?
All right. Thank you.
You have your direction. Thank you. The next item is to hear a presentation and discuss the regional ambulance service request for proposal. This is also connected with or a precursor to agenda item 4D, which we will be voting on tonight, which is giving the city manager the approval to negotiate and execute an agreement with Southwest Ambulance to provide regional emergency transportation services.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Thank you for letting us give us this opportunity to give you an update on where we are with the emergency transportation services contract. My name is Mary Camelli, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department. And to my left is Ed Quedens. He's the Business Services Director. And Alfred Smith, Deputy City Attorney. They will be here to talk about the RFP process, and Alfred will entertain any legal questions you have on this. Just to give you an update of where we are and just kind of reiterate some of the things we talked about earlier. We came to you on May 18th and discussed our regional transportation services contract. We said we wanted to enter into an IGA cooperative with regional partners for a transportation service. And Council previously approved us to look into the process and implement this, go into this contract agreement with Apache Junction, Queen Creek, Gilbert, and Mesa. Some of the advantages, again, of the regional contract, the most important one is enhance this customer service. We have seamless transportation, and it reduces response times. Every time an ambulance shows up on the scene, we know exactly what equipment's on the ambulance, we know what's there, and also it really is conducive to how we do business in the fire service, like automatic aid, and that's the goal of this whole thing, and the ultimate goal is enhancing patient care. Again?
If we could, maybe a very brief explanation as to what we are actually awarding, and maybe not in the legal standpoint, but we're not contracting for services. We're not paying anything for these services. These are services that are provided within this area by a company or companies that the cities award the right to be the exclusive provider in these areas. Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry. I was jumping ahead. I just wanted to.
That's okay.
It's in their presentation. Go
right.
Okay.
Okay. Mayor Smith, to answer your question, yes, this will be no cost incurred by the city of Mesa. This is a service, and when the ambulance transports a patient, the billing goes directly to the patient, and the patient covers that cost completely. So there, when we provide a transportation service as we do today, there is no cost that the city incurs on this.
Even we're granting exclusive service
contract to provide the service in the city of Mesa and in this region is what that what it comes down to.
That is correct. Exactly. Okay, and Ed's going to go over a little bit about the RFP process that we completed.
Just summarizing quickly, the RFP was issued on June 2nd. During the process, a protest and an appeal were filed by PMT Ambulance, and both were denied. The responses were due on August 3rd. There was a single response received from Southwest General doing business with Southwest Ambulance. The RFP was evaluated for responsiveness because we only had one. It wasn't necessarily scored against someone else's, but it was evaluated to ensure that the response received was going to meet the city's needs and could be recommended as being responsive and to move forward through the council process. The evaluation team consisted of five representatives from the four regional agencies, two from Mesa, one representative from Phoenix Fire, as well as one member of the community, a former council member. The evaluation team did recommend that the response move forward for consideration by the council with the action tonight for item 4D. We would begin contract negotiations with Southwest Ambulance to try and come to successful terms with them. And any execution of a contract by Mesa and the other regional partners would be subject to DHS review and approval.
Ed, just a couple things. The first thing is, you don't have to go into a lot of detail, just generally, what was the reason for the protests and why they were denied?
The main point in the protest and the appeal was the requirement that the CON be in hand at the time of our
acronyms.
I'm sorry, certificate of necessity.
And explain sort of what that is.
Mayor,
or explain not sort of what that is, explain what that is.
Try not to give you a legalese answer. The certificate of necessity basically provides the mechanism by which an ambulance company can provide service within a particular community.
So
that's issued by the Arizona Department of Health Services. So the protests here in our RFP, the requirements was one of the requirements was that we needed to have the C of N in hand by the time the response was due, which was August 3rd. There was a protest to that by, as Mr. Quedens mentioned, PMT, stating that that was an unreasonable request to have that requirement in our.
So I'm assuming the PMT does not have a certificate of necessity for all the areas required, or do they?
I defer to Mary. I think that's correct. Yes, they do not have one.
I think what we make it clear is that we, in the process, notified all the, prior to we're actually releasing RFP, let everyone know about the qualifications requirements, as well as we weren't aware that during the RFP process, the time period, that any one entity applied for their certificate of necessity.
So we believe that if someone was lacking in that, we gave them warning before even issuing that. And it was the staff's belief, and everyone involved, I guess, since we have actually four different government entities involved in this, that whoever might be lacking in this would have time to take some action.
Certainly to initiate.
To initiate it. Okay, certainly. I got you.
Mayor, we were not aware of any attempts by any other ambulance company to initiate any C of N.
And that was the reason why the appeal was denied, because we felt it was...
First, we felt it was a reasonable request to have that in place. And then, two, again, there wasn't really any grounds to suggest an adjustment to that, because there wasn't any application for that certificate of necessity.
Okay. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Just a question, again, to verify on the process as we're doing tonight. As I understand it, our council vote tonight is our last vote on the issue. They'll move forward to negotiation and then through to the Department of Health Services for approval. Am I correct?
That is correct. Yeah, the process today would be authorizing the city manager and his designee to enter into negotiations. And this whole process, we will hope to gain a viable contract that both parties can live with, but ultimately DHS will have final say-so on whether the contract meets Department of Health Services regulations. So they could come back and tell us that, no, this is not acceptable. You need to do this, you need to do that. So we would ultimately could have to come back to council and say, no, we need to tweak it based on DHS regulations.
Sure. Thank you.
So we enter into a contract, even though we're not paying for any of these, we are we are providing or offering exclusive rights to serve in these areas. So we're entering into a contract to define the terms of that service?
Define the terms of the service, and more importantly, Mayor, and for the citizens at home, the rates set that Southwest would charge are set by DHS. It is not something that
by
we
the
would
state.
Go by the state, right. Yes, sir. So we would not be contracting with them to establish a certain rate. That rate is set by DHS.
So our contract will have into it certain service standards, equipment standards, things like that, that says, since we are going to the, and one of the reasons to go to the regional is we hope that we can place equipment throughout the region that can respond more readily, and that's what the contract negotiations
are. Mayor, and I think that's a critical point, maybe something we didn't highlight enough in the PowerPoint. Mayor, if you give us the top five, because I think that's an important point to say, why is this the most responsive? Not just that they were the only one, but they've met our request. Now, we don't have to worry, we're not setting rates, but as the mayor was just mentioning, I think, can you give us a few examples of what you're talking about? We're talking about saying being responsive to equipment, and this is the idea that there's a regional, this will be a regional provider now, that so all four communities will be able to enjoy the same level of service regardless of whether it's coming from Gilbert or coming from Mesa or Queen Creek. They're going to get the same level of service. Could you just quickly give us a few examples of that?
Okay. Alfred, is it okay to just to city manager, council mayor, some of the things that in the contract they agreed to, which is going to be advantageous to the region, is the equipment that we requested that all be the same throughout the region. So regardless of where the ambulance is coming from, we know what equipment's on there. We know the standard of the equipment. To meet the response times that we have listed in the RFP process, they've agreed to that. They've agreed to some of the newer technology that we're moving forward to match some of our newer technology. So everything that we've agreed to, they have no exceptions in the RFP process. So they've
agreed. Right now, once again, to just review, right now with separate contracts, literally a Southwest ambulance that is contracted for the town of Gilbert doesn't cross baseline to go in and service people in Mesa on an ongoing basis.
Well,
and they're not, because they're under a different contract. Not what we're going to be, but what currently exists.
Right.
The reason why we get higher services is that we can now have standard levels of service requirements, so it doesn't matter where the ambulance is coming from, whether it's on the south side of baseline, the north side of baseline. We're going to have the same high standard regardless of where that's coming from.
And Mayor, I think the way we look at it though today is because of our automatic aid response, frankly, we do, because we're having units come from other cities, there may be parts of our city who on a frequent basis are getting a different level of service than other parts of the city. So
because of the difference in contracts.
Right, and I think, for example, Apache Junction has the 12 lead EKG, and we have units in Mesa that have eight?
We're up to 12 now. But,
we're 12, but at one point, you had a difference in the level of service they could provide it. Thank you. So this is a way, and I think the whole region, all communities came together and said, listen, we're already sharing the same dispatch and radio systems. We're already providing automatic aid across boundaries.
For our personnel.
For our personnel.
Yeah.
EMS, fire, and that's happening. So this just seemed like a more logical way to say, let's have the same level of service across all groups, and that's why we came together for this RFP.
Councilmember Summers.
I'll also mention, too, that the contracts vary community by community about how those ambulances are staffed. And I think we're seeing this on a certain side of our town as well. Our fire trucks are all paramedics. If they go on a call and get a Southwest ambulance that is only staffed by EMTs, well, they can't do the same thing. A paramedic is a higher level of care. So if you start an IV or you have to do a 12-lead EKG, then the paramedic on the Mesa fire truck has to actually escort the patient all the way to the hospital, which is not a very efficient or effective way of doing business, as opposed to having an ambulance with paramedics on board where you can turn the patient over to, they can go to the hospital, and the fire truck can go back in service to answer other fire alarms and other emergencies. So, and oftentimes what's happened has been my experience is that went through the mutual aid through the fire department, one community will respond into another community's jurisdiction because they're the closest truck, which is what we want the mutual aid for. It's back and forth between. But Mesa may end up having to go in to the hospital all the time going into that other community because the staffing on the ambulances are different. Here we'll have four communities that have the same level of service, not only on the fire apparatus, but on the ambulances as well, so that you know where you're going. The Mesa fire truck would be able to get back in service as quickly as possible to handle other emergencies. So.
And I'm sorry, I know we went over this before in a previous, but I think it's good to review it just to remind people why we are pursuing this and why we believe we've taken it this far, what those standards were that we were looking for from the different respondents as they relate to what level of standard and level of service for all four communities, so it would be consistent and it would improve both not only the level of service but the response times and everything. So it is a real benefit, even though we're not paying for this as a city, but we are establishing that standard and that requirement so that that service goes directly, as you said, to our citizens.
That is exactly correct, okay. Mayor. And to reiterate what Councilmember Summers and Mr. Breed both said, both the staffing issue and the equipment issue, it would be seamless. If we went to this regional contract, it would be seamless. And to go back to what Alfred was saying about the DHS rates, just so everybody understands, the reason DHS has to give the final approval of that is because anything that we ask for in the contract, if it impacts the rates, that's when they can nix something from the contract or remove something, if they feel it impacts rates, because they do set the rates on the fees. No rate to the city, but a rate to the patient. Just so it's very consistent. Okay, and as Alfred stated earlier, what we're here today to ask for is we're asking council to authorize the city manager to negotiate and to enter into an agreement with Southwest Ambulance.
Councilmember Summers?
I would absolutely be in support of this. Mr. Brady, would the council have other opportunities to discuss with you some options with the ambulance company? For example, it would be nice if we could have ambulances respond to nursing homes when there's not a critical life-saving emergency, rather than dragging a fire truck all the way there. Those types of things that we might want to explore.
I think we can have future discussions about that and have that conversation. That's probably another conversation we need to have. But as far as affecting this RFP, we want to move, because we've already done the RFP, so we have a certain boundary of what our negotiations can include. But I do think there's a lot of opportunity for that same conversation, to your point.
The reason I bring this up, Mr. Brady, is that sometimes with the ambulance companies, and maybe it happens less here, but if they gave a 20 or 30 minute ETA to a nursing home, and a nursing home wanted it faster, then they're going to call 911 for that service. And the reason they get a 30-minute ETA isn't that there's an ambulance available, but that ambulance is under contract with the city. And it'd be nice if those city ambulances were available to them so that it decreases our demand on the fire department.
Okay. Well, if we can look at that, we can talk about that.
Thanks.
Okay. So tonight we'll be voting on that. That's item 4D on the agenda. When we come up, that will be for to authorize, formally authorize city manager to pursue that. Those negotiations.
Okay. Thank you
very much.
Awesome.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is appointments. Appointments to boards and committees. We have one replacement, but the one I'd like to make sure you note is the appointment to the Light Rail Stakeholder Advisory Committee. We had a lot of requests and a lot of interest in this board, and what we really decided to do is we went through a vetting process, and we realized that to cut down on this stakeholder presentation probably would have been denying some people the input that they could have given. And so after consulting with the vice mayor, who is going to be the chair of the stakeholder advisory committee, basically the list you have before us is everybody who applied to participate in the stakeholder advisory. So we're not shutting everyone out, and the mayor is and the city staff have come up with a process where I think we can get the maximum participation and not create a group or a dynamic that is so large and unwielding that it won't provide the kind of input that we desire. So I just wanted to let you know why that was that group and those proposals are so much include so many more people than what I think we had originally talked about, with having maybe 15 to 20, and we realized that might just be limiting our public input. So that's why I went a little bit more on that. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to approve those. Do I have a motion and a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Councilmember Summers.
I'd like to extend my appreciation to the 200 to 250 youth volunteer who came out to the Desert Sands community this past Saturday to complete a number of projects, including painting address numbers on curbs. They also did some four project homes to help with some cleanup for those who were invalid and not able to complete them, and did a few carpentry projects as well. So as a part of a building a better Mesa is building strong communities and strong neighborhoods, and their efforts are deeply appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you, Vice Mayor, for covering for me last week while I was gone.
We spent a great deal of time covering
that's
issues.
What I hear. Yes. I hear you spent a lot of time. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder to the council that Tuesday, tomorrow night, we have another mayor's conversation with the community. This one will be at La Casita Community Center, 2719 South Reyes. I believe that's in the Dobson Ranch neighborhood. Reception at 6 p.m. with a presentation at 6:30 p.m. This coming Thursday, we will not be having a study session. We have a few council members who will be absent, but there will be an audit and finance committee meeting that morning, which will begin at 9 a.m. for those of you on that committee. And then this Saturday, September 26th, we'll be having our National Emergency Preparedness kickoff, maybe, to the, at the Mesa River View Bass Pro Shops. I think this is the second time we've done this.
Second year.
At least, and beginning at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. I believe we'll have our opening ceremonies around noon, I believe is the time.
And it's a great event.
It's a lot of fun.
A lot of city staff, fire, public safety, police
and a lot of,
out
yes.
there. A lot of, and Bass Pro does a great job of hosting that. So last year was very well attended and worthwhile. Okay, anything else?
That's it.
Great. If there's no further business.
You know,
Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, with the fact that we won't have the study session on Thursday, I wanted to remind everyone that the AT Still Diamondbacks fundraiser at Chase Field is this Saturday, the 26th. That game time is at 5:10, and you can go online. If you go to AT Still and actually buy your tickets with the low code, AT Still gets money back for each ticket purchased to help their dental school service kids at need.
And where do they get this code?
Councilmember Summers knows what it is.
If they go to dbacks.com/smile, pass
backslash forward slash.
I don't know. They'll figure it
whatever
out.
Whatever the slash.
Try
is.
Forward, then try back. It's okay. Smile. The code is smile, and the password is dbacks.
And the vice mayor would encourage you to take light rail to the game.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Are you winning that bet, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
We have a very comfortable lead to challenge that the Vice Mayor Simplot of Phoenix gave us. We do have a very comfortable lead, and I am looking forward to him coming and cleaning our station in Sycamore in October.
That's going
to
be awesome.
Is he going to clean the porta-johns or just the station?
Oh. We've got the whole parking right.
We'll have to discuss that, yes. But as far as that challenge goes, yes, we are comfortably in the lead, and I don't see that changing. But, yes, ride the light rail from Sycamore Station as much as you would like in September.
So we can stop hopping on at Sycamore, getting back on in Tempe, coming back, and doing this little circle now.
Yeah.
You're going to keep making us do that the rest of the month.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we'll see you upstairs in a few minutes.